The Gist. This blog attempts to gauge the state of ME/CFS, fibromyalgia, and long COVID, and similar diseases, given the Trump administration's actions at the NIH, CDC, and FDA. First, there is a timeline, and then there is a look at what the figures at the top of these organizations think about long COVID. No information on their views on ME/CFS or fibromyalgia is available. On January 27th, the Trump administration froze all federal grants and loans, including those at the NIH, pending further review, and then just as quickly rescinded the freeze in reaction to a court order. In February, the Trump administration ordered that indirect funding for universities and institutions receiving federal research grants be slashed to 15% from an average of 30 to 40%. Indirect costs include renting and maintaining lab space, maintaining lab equipment, computational needs, administration compliance, financial reporting, security, heating and cleaning, etc., because the Trump administration's action applies to all grants, past and future grants. If the order is implemented, it will effectively hobble to some degree all ongoing NIH research. The administration asserted that indirect funds should be capped at the maximum that Gates Foundation typically allows, 15%. However, the NIH supports more expensive lab-intensive research than the Gates Foundation, which funds many disease prevention programs. A court challenge is temporarily holding up the Trump administration's order. The Trump administration responded by refusing to post public notices announcing the dates of review panels. Because public review is legally required, the action stopped virtually all public reviews. Because review panels are required for grant approvals, the action effectively stopped the NIH from funding any new research. Researchers warned of labs being decimated if the grant review stoppage continued for another funding cycle. By February 14th, approximately $1 billion in NIH research funding had been nixed. On February 21st, a judge, citing the potential for irreparable harm, also suspended the Trump administration's gambit to cut $4 billion from NIH funding immediately. The Long COVID Advisory Committee was terminated, and information on long COVID prevalence on two websites was removed. All information on long COVID-19 disability was also removed, and long COVID-19 is no longer listed as a disability on governmental websites. In some good news, the Sick Times reported that so far, it's business as usual for the NIH's Recover Initiative, which is funded in a different way than other programs. Thus far, approximately 1,200 NIH employees, or about 6% of the NIH's workforce, 700 employees at the Food and Drug Administration, FDA, and 750 members of the Centers for Disease Control, CDC, have been fired. RFK Jr. now leads the massive Department of Health and Human Services, annual budget $1.6 trillion with 88,000 employees. Kennedy's anti-vaccine views, his promotion of debunked COVID-19 treatments like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, his endorsement of strange conspiracy-like views, such as Lyme disease is likely a military weapon, that Anthony Fauci personally profited from vaccines, and that Bill Gates schemes to prolong the coronavirus pandemic, his skepticism about the source of HIV/AIDS, indicates that Kennedy is often far, far outside the mainstream of scientific thought. Notably, though, Kennedy has called for more research into chronic illnesses and said he would direct resources to long COVID treatments and diagnostics, quote, with enthusiasm, end quote. Kennedy will also likely promote studies aimed at understanding the link between vaccines and the ME/CFS-like post-vaccine syndromes. Kennedy, though, has also said he wants to pause funding for infectious disease research for 8 years. Not a helpful idea for people with post-infectious diseases. Monica Bertagnoli's resignation as NIH director after just 14 months on the job was not a good sign, as Bertagnoli had supported long COVID research and the Recover Initiative's welcome turnaround on its clinical trials. President Trump nominated Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, a health economist and professor of medicine, economics, and health research policy at Stanford University. Bhattacharya got a lot wrong during the pandemic, underestimating coronavirus virulence, overestimating recovery, support for herd immunity, downplaying long-term COVID, etc., but he got one big thing right. More attention should have been paid to the societal costs of the shutdowns. Bhattacharya's thoughts regarding long COVID at the present time are unclear. His plans to restructure the NIH and create many more centers of power to prevent a small group of scientists or bureaucrats from dominating fields, to engage in more high-risk, high-reward projects, and to make the NIH more accountable to congressional oversight could be helpful. President Trump's nominee to head the CDC, Dr. Dave Weldon, appeared in the anti-vaccine film Vaxxed, where he questioned whether some vaccines could trigger autism. In a 2019 TV appearance, he claimed incorrectly that some children can get an autism spectrum disorder from a vaccine. On the other hand, Weldon has stated that his children are fully vaccinated. Plus, Weldon's interest in post-vaccination syndromes and the reactivation of Epstein-Barr virus could prove helpful. In December 2022, Dr. Marty Makary, President Trump's choice to lead the Food and Drug Administration, FDA, stated in a December 2022 Wall Street Journal op-ed that long COVID is real, but that its effects have been massively exaggerated, overplayed, and not as bad as advertised, and that the federal government was feeding over $1 billion into the long COVID medical industrial complex. ME Action's Town Hall will discuss these issues tomorrow at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Town Hall is being recorded. Sign up for ME Action's February 25th Town Hall meeting at this link in the text version of the gist. There are also links to that in the text version of the article.